Hello and welcome to Let the Stones Speak. My name is Christopher Eames and I'll be your host for today's program. Earlier today, a press release was issued about the moat that was discovered at the northern edge of the City of David. Now, a lot of the knowledge about this moat has come out at the end of last year, 2023, but the recent press release had some additional information in it, and we thought it was high time to go down to the site and to interview one of the directors, and so that we did, and this interview that we've got for you today is with Dr. Yiftach Shalev. Now, Dr. Shalev is an Israel Antiquities Authority archaeologist. He co-directs the site with Professor Yuval Gadot, and what they've been finding there really reshapes our idea of what ancient Jerusalem looked like during the time of the biblical kings, and quite likely even beforehand, perhaps even to the time of the patriarch Abraham. So we do hope you enjoy this interview. If you do, please leave us a like and subscribe. And also, if you're not subscribed to our magazine, Let the Stones Speak, the same name, please go ahead and do so. This is our latest magazine that has hit mailboxes, featuring, in this case, the Kerbet Kayafa Shrine model. It's a quality 40-page bi-monthly magazine, and if you're not subscribed already, you should be. I'll leave a link down in the description for you to do so. So without further ado, we'll cut to this interview, and we hope that you enjoy it. Dr. Shalev, thank you so very much for agreeing to this interview with us.
No problem. Thank you for coming.
It's really a privilege to be here in this location, and perhaps before we get into some of the details about what your team has discovered, maybe you can talk about the lay of the land, where in Jerusalem we're exactly standing right now.
Okay, so we are now standing in the area that is called Givati Parking Lot Excavation, which is a site that's been excavated for 21 years now. It's an ongoing excavation.
Is it the longest continuous
I think so.
Excavation?
I mean, there are several sites who've been excavated longer, but these are usually being dug only during the summer.
Right.
And this is, I think it's the longest ongoing excavation, but actually I need to check it out. Anyway, for the last 7 years or so, it's been excavated by my colleague, Professor Yuval Gadot from Tel Aviv University, and myself from the Israel Antiquity Authority. And the importance of this site, that it gives us a cross-section through different periods of settlement in Jerusalem. Actually, it gives us a section of 2,000 years of almost an ongoing occupation, starting with the Abbasid period, let's say 11th century AD, and down to the Iron Age, 9th century AD. And this makes this site very unique in Jerusalem, because most of the excavation here at the southeastern ridge, the one that is called City of David, were conducted either on the top of the ridge or the eastern slope, and those expose several layers. In each excavation, other layers were exposed. This is the only one that actually gives us this section.
Okay, so from the western side of the city,
right.
It's unique as well in that respect.
Yeah, one of the only one. The only one who actually excavated this area before us is Kathleen Kenyon in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
She opened here Area M, dug down to Hellenistic remains, and she down to bedrock in that specific area. And that's why she thought that Iron Age Jerusalem never extended further west than the slope itself. And she left Jerusalem with this idea, which, of course, today we know it's wrong. And Iron Age Jerusalem was a huge city extended all the way to Mount Zion and other area. So Givati is located on the northern part of the western slope of the ridge. And because of that, while excavating here, we assume that we will find the bedrock sloping either as a slope or in terraces from east to west. And this is exactly what we found at the early stages of the excavation. But then when we came here to that area, to this area where we're standing now, surface was like 6 meters above us. But we did see part of the bedrock over there.
Right.
So we start digging down, assuming that we will find this step of the bedrock sloping westward. But we dig down and down, a meter, second, third, and no bedrock, which was kind of confusing at the beginning. But little by little, this cliff that you see behind me was exposed, and we start exposing these steps that we see here, realizing that we are basically standing in this huge channel. We also opened another area some 20 meters to the south where we exposed the other side of this channel. So we got these two very tall cliffs, actually getting to about 9 meters, and we still didn't reach the actual bottom of this channel. So we understood we got this massive channel that goes against the original topography. It doesn't slope toward the west, but goes east-west. And that was indeed very, very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It is very hard in archaeology to date something which is rock cut, because you don't have anything that comes from the feature itself. Nevertheless, when we got down to the surface that we're standing on, we didn't see these channels yet, because the area was covered with this whitish surface, quite thick.
So a floor of some sort? Or?
I don't know if it's exactly a floor, because it didn't reach anything, but it was definitely a man-made surface.
Okay.
And while digging below it into these channels, the material that was found sealed in these channels is dated to the late 9th century BCE, let's say late Iron 2A, early Iron 2B.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of intriguing, because everything that you see above that surface, the white surface that was here, is dated to the Hellenistic period. So we know now that this moat, this rock cut feature, was existing, it was active in Jerusalem of the Iron Age in the 9th century BCE, and that it was left open all the way to the Hellenistic period, to the 2nd century AD. So this was the initial part of the research. But we had to get more information in order to understand if this is just something local here in Givati, mm-hmm. or is it, like we thought, extending further eastward. Now, the only one who actually excavated to the east of us is Kathleen Kenyon in her area Ara. So we went back to the publication, and we realized that Kenyon actually found the same phenomenon in her area H, today the large stone structure. The surface, the level of the bedrock is 701 above sea level. Then in area R, drop down some 6 meters, mm-hmm. and rises back up in her area S, which is in the offal. Exactly what we see.
It exactly corresponds.
Right.
Okay, so you've picked up the edges, basically, of both sides,
right. Or she originally. Is in, let's say, two-thirds of it, but right. still, it means that whatever this is extended across the ridge of the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, in 2008, Rina Avner, an IA archaeologist, also excavated slightly to the north of Area H of Kathleen Kenyon,
mm-hmm.
and she found a slope. She reached the bedrock in two small squares, but you can actually see how the bedrock is sloping from south to north, exactly as we got in the other side of this moat.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's really, really interesting. And it goes to show why you need to publish everything in an excavation.
Exactly. And like we were talking about before, the topography in this area, when you look through modern eyes, can be very deceiving. There's actually the huge valley that runs parallel to the city of David to the west here, the Tiripoian Valley, mm-hmm. which we know about, i.e. from Josephus. But now you've found this, basically another valley
right.
cutting straight through at the northern end of the city of David. And for those watching, I will point out that this up above us, this is all reinforcement sitting right. above the excavation. This isn't part of the remains themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically have this moat going from directly from west to east, straight through?
More or less. Again, since we don't have the exact edges of it, it's hard to tell exactly. But yeah, taking in calculation what Kenyon and Rina Avner measured, so it goes east-west.
And the earliest remains that we have, which show, which take into account the moat, as you said, a 9th century.
Right.
So that means 9th century backwards.
It could be.
It could have been yeah. made
so
at any time.
We also took in consideration an earlier date. Now, here in Jerusalem, we have some massive rock cut features, especially near the spring, which usually dated to the Middle Bronze Age. So it is a possibility. Nevertheless, we need to take in consideration that we hardly find any evidence from that period here in Givati or in other excavation around. We do have some few potsherds here and there in secondary context, meaning they're not in situ, they're not dating everything, they're just traveling around. And we don't have any other indications. So it might be an earlier feature. It actually seems logical because this will be like the northern fortification for the smaller Bronze Age city, but we cannot prove it in any way.
Right.
All I can say for sure is that this feature is here in the 9th century BCE, and maybe even if you remember that the material was sealed in these channels, maybe even in the late 9th century, it start losing in importance because something is going on here.
Interesting.
Now, if you go and look at whatever happens in Jerusalem in the late 9th century, so we know that construction at the Ophel is becoming more and more monumental. This is from the PhD of Ariel
Windebaum.
Windebaum, thank you. And also the large stone structure who existed in the southern part. So you see that Jerusalem is going through this phase of monumentalization. So it fits right in. Now, it seems to us that this feature will be a separation mode. It's stuck in the middle of the city between the Acropolis or the royal part of the city, the temple.
Ophel temple.
Right. And the, let's say, more domestic part of the city, although you got the large stone structure right off the edge, but the rest of it was more domestic in feature, in nature. So it seems to be some kind of a separation between the Acropolis and the domestic part. Now, we know about similar features from other cities, but nothing is so massive. Usually just a wall or a tiny cliff or something that make the separation. This is the largest one that we know.
What are the exact dimensions of it?
Okay, so it's from the upper part, the two upper part, it's 35 meters. Of course, it's getting narrower
right,
as you go
right.
down. And as of today, it is at least 9 meters tall.
But have you reached the very...
No, okay. not yet.
Not the bottom yet.
Yeah, so it seems like we are right on top of it, but it should be like 3 or 4 meters southward. So it's getting even deeper.
And is there any way to continue this? Like do a pilgrimage road type situation?
No, okay. Well, technically, yes. Archaeologically, no.
Okay.
We are not treasure hunters.
Right.
We are not just digging channel into the ground. Definitely not doing vertical archaeology. The step street is a very unique case in which the archaeologists try to follow a certain feature that we know where it is and where it's going. This is not the case here.
Okay.
So at least for now, no. But we do try to find other ways of ground penetrating radar or something like that to give us more information. But in any case, this thing is here, and it's so massive that...
You can't ignore it.
Yeah. So you need to explain it. I'm quite sure that whoever cut this moat used the stone for construction. But it's hard to believe that this is the main goal of this. It was not cut to be a quarry.
To be a quarry, right. Well, yeah, because the lower you go down, the harder it becomes to take the stones back up.
Yeah, and also we know how quarries look like. It's nothing like that.
Right.
And B, a C maybe in this case, let's say it was a quarry, why would you leave such a huge ditch open in the center of Jerusalem, in its peak day, the days that this is the capital of the kingdom of Judea.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. The layout of the city would not agree with that. Something will happen. They will backfill it. They will build something inside it. The fact that it's here indicate that it was meant and it was important enough for the kings, the rulers of Jerusalem, to keep it this way.
Right. And I guess this is getting a little bit into speculation, but it seems logical that there would have been some connection, maybe a bridge or something like that between the two.
I assume we have a reconstruction made by Balazs Balog. Mm-hmm. I think it was published. So while doing this reconstruction, this question came up. So we did draw some kind of a bridge or like a narrow catwalk mm-hmm. at the center that allow people to cross it in days of peace, and something small enough that you can demolish or close in days of danger. But yeah, this is just an hypothesis for now.
Okay. Well, I think that'll cover it off. Thanks so much, Dr. Shalev. And
welcome.
We've been watching this as it's gradually getting lower and lower and seeing with amazement, really, these edges of the mm-hmm. bedrock. And I assume the plan is just to keep following it as it goes down?
Well, it's a good question, because we got some layers.
A bulk here? Or?
Yeah, so we probably will start on the bulk a little bit, but mm-hmm. we need to see. We have the upper part here, layers from early Roman period and others. We want to keep Givati as an archaeological site
right.
that present each and every period of the of Jerusalem. So we will see later on how we will continue. Nevertheless, I think it's hard to ignore that this is here. And I think that we need to go back to the sketch table and to take all the reconstruction we made for Jerusalem and rethink how this feature is embedded into the layout of the city.
Exactly. There's a lot of peculiar terms in the Bible and that kind of thing, so that could help shed more light on the Milo and the nature
yeah.
of the Ophel and that sort
so,
of
yeah,
thing.
So, of course, as an archaeologist, this is not exactly my my expertise.
Right.
But clearly, more than one scholar who deal with biblical study start dealing with that. I'm sure it will highlight more parts.
For sure. Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.